All right, so we're in the Deceived series, and this is the third week of Deceived, and you know, to be deceived is just means that you believe something that's not true. How do we know what truth is? It's God's Word. I believe that the Bible is God's Word. I believe that it is truth, and that we can base our life on that, and God will bless our life, and we can be successful in life. Because of God's Word, because I believe that is truth. And so, first week we talked about the pride of deception, and we looked into the story of Lucifer and how he fell from heaven and how pride came into his heart. He thought that he could overthrow God, and God proved him wrong really quickly that, you know, he's not going to be overthrown. But he said that I will ascend above the heavens, I will. And he had the I wills, and so he puffed himself up to something that he was not, and that does not work. See, pride puts us on the throne of our own hearts instead of putting Christ on the throne of our heart. And so pride makes us question the lordship of God. Last week we talked about Eve's deception, and we talked about how a lot of times the enemy tries to come in and make us question God's Word. And if we believe that God's Word is the truth, and that's the reason why he attacks God's Word and makes us try to question what God said. And so we have to be careful that we don't allow something to make us question God's Word. It's okay to have questions, okay? But it's not okay to question God's Word. You know, he was talking about doctrine a while ago, and there's lots of doctrine out there. There's lots of things that churches will teach, but does it line up with God's Word? That should be the bottom line that we approach is, you know, if we hear something that sounds good, it sounds like the truth, let's compare it to God's Word and see if it is true or not. And so questioning God's Word is another tactic of the enemy to try to get us deceived. And so today we're going to go into Galatians chapter 6. And this is one of the scriptures that begins, "Do not be deceived." All right, and so the way I see it is like the reason they put that in the scripture, because I believe God's Word is God-breathed, and it's there for a reason. It says things a certain way for a reason, and there are certain places that Jesus said this and Paul said this. He said, "Do not be deceived." Okay, and so possibly, just maybe, that this is an area that the enemy might try to come and deceive us in. And so today's one of those scriptures, and we're going to go in Galatians chapter 6. Starting in verse 7, if I can get to the right place here, it says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up." And so here's the thing that we're talking about today, is that you reap what you sow. Now, we've heard this all of our lives. This is a concept that is not foreign, it's not new. And, I mean, he's talking in agricultural terms. You know, the society in that day, you know, most people grew their own food and stuff. And so they understood that if I sow corn into the ground, then I'm going to get what? Corn, right? If I sow some pumpkin seeds in the ground, I'm going to get pumpkins. It just makes sense, right? It's a very simple concept. And so why would we be deceived in this area? And so here's what I think the deception is with this, is that I believe that not only does the enemy want to get us into pride, he wants us to question God's Word. If he can't get us to question God's Word, he gets us to question God's faithfulness to his Word. Will God really do what he said? And this works for the good and the bad. And we're going to talk about both of those today, how this reflects in the positive and the negative aspects in this. And so as I began to study, I, you know, went and looked up the words and stuff of this. And so this word he says in here, whatever a man reaps, a man reaps whatever he sows. So what does it mean to sow? We know that planting seed in the ground is sowing in the natural. So what does it look like when he talks about in the Bible? The word sow actually means to do things that satisfy the nature and the promptings of the flesh or of the spirit. So what is it that's guiding your life? When we do things that satisfy the nature and the promptings of the flesh, then that's going to reap destruction in our life. But if we do things that satisfy the nature and the promptings of the Holy Spirit in our life, that's going to produce eternal life, okay? Pretty simple concept, right? If we do things that satisfy our nature or our selfish side, then it's going to be destruction. If we sow towards things that that God has for us, then it's going to reap eternal life. So the word flesh in here, and this is true throughout the New Testament and the Bible as it talks about the flesh. The flesh actually means the nature of man without the Holy Spirit. This is the decision-making according to self apart from your faith. It proceeds out of the unchanged part of us, the part that's not transformed by God yet. So as we look at that definition of the flesh, you know, when we got born again, when we gave our lives to Christ, the Bible says that we become a brand new creation. The old man is gone and the new has come. So what was it that transformed in that moment? That was our spirit man. That was the part of us that connects with God. Now, I wish that during salvation, God would have changed our bodies too, right? So we don't have to diet anymore and we don't have to exercise and do all that kind of stuff. That would have been amazing, you know, if God would have transformed our bodies to be like, you know, perfect, you know, health in our bodies. But that wasn't what happened. But also, there's a part of us that didn't change as well, and we call it our soul. This is our decision-making. This is our attitudes. This is our emotions. This is the part of us that make us unique to us. And God didn't transform that at salvation either. And so this is what we're talking about during what the flesh is it's the nature of man without the Holy Spirit. This is our decision-making according to ourself apart from our faith, or this is the part of us that hasn't been transformed by God yet. This is the journey of the Christian right here. It's the transformation of the soul from living according to the flesh, or living according to our own selfishness, whatever our body tells us to do, whatever it says is good, that's what we do, transforming that into a soul that is sold out to Jesus and living into God's perfect will. And that's the process that we're in as Christians, is that renewing of the mind, that changing of the attitudes, the changing the way that we make decisions. And so this is the battle that we have within us, is are we going to be led by our flesh, by what naturally that we want to do, or are we going to be led by the Holy Spirit of God and do the things that are going to produce life in us? Because here's the thing, if we live according to the flesh, it's going to produce destruction. Plain and simple. If we live according to the Spirit, then it's going to produce eternal life in us. Okay? And so the concept is easy. You know, that's easy to comprehend that. The deception comes is, will God really live up to His Word, though? Will God really discipline me for my sin? See, when I got saved, Christ wiped all of that away. The past is gone. Sin is forgiven. And so now we're in this place in our Christian life to where, you know, we are still tempted to sin. That flesh is still rising up on the inside of us, trying to get us to do the things that we used to do. And so we get into this reasoning of, well, I'm forgiven. Christ forgave me of this stuff. If I sin, God will forgive me. Hey, I'm already going to heaven. And so we begin to rationalize sin in our life. We begin to question if God will actually discipline us for our sin or allow the consequence of our sin to come upon us. See, here's the thing. If I go and I decide to rob a bank tomorrow and I get caught, I can't pray a prayer and say, God, please don't let them put me in prison for doing this. See, that's not the kind of prayers God answers, okay? There's consequences to our actions. We reap what we sow. If I choose to go rob a bank, I'm going to prison. Okay? That's the way it works. That's sowing and reaping. And so what we begin to do in this is we begin to question, will God really allow the consequence of my sin to come upon me? And the answer is yes. Even though you were saved, you were going to heaven, you are forgiven of your past, God will still allow consequence of your sin to come upon you. If you decide to continually look at pornography, there's going to be consequence in your life because of that. That lust is going to be born in your heart, and it's going to change the way that you look at the opposite sex, and it's going to begin to change your heart. There's going to be consequence to that. And so God is faithful to His Word. The opposite is true as well. If I sow to the Spirit, if I do the things that make me grow as a Christian, as I read and study God's Word, as I spend time in worship and prayer, and I'm serving and I'm giving and I'm doing those things, God will be faithful to His Word, and He will bless that life. And so, you know, a lot of times we like to use this for the negative. Oh, you'll reap what you sow. Well, thank God I'm going to sow to the Spirit, and so I'm going to reap eternal life because of that. And so I want to look at both aspects of this today. And so when it talks about the Spirit, that's talking about the soul that's influenced by the Holy Spirit. And see, that's what we want to be. We want to be souls under the influence of the Holy Spirit and allow Him to come and change us for that. See, here's the deception in this, is that the devil wants you to get comfortable with sinning again. This is what he wants you to do. This is why he tries to deceive you in this, because if he can get you comfortable in that sin, saying, oh, God will forgive me for this. Oh, I'm forgiven, and I'm going to heaven, so it's not that big a deal. And he gets us comfortable within that sin again. And what begins to happen as we continuously sin and ask for forgiveness, you know, there's a difference between asking for forgiveness and repentance. Amen. See, repentance is saying, I'm sorry and I'm not going to do it again. Yeah. I'm going to turn and I'm going to do something else. It's changing something in your life. Saying I'm sorry just means I'm sorry. I apologize for doing you wrong. But there's no promise in change. And so if the devil can get us comfortable sinning again, to where we sin and we sin and we sin and we don't feel that conviction of the Holy Spirit like we used to, then we're in big trouble. We're going to be in trouble once we get to the point to where we're comfortable in that sin. Because now what's going to happen is you're going to produce destruction in your life. And see, there's some, you know, in all of us we do this, but there's some of us that might be thinking like, you know, I'm praying, I'm reading my Bible, but nothing's really changing. Well, what else are you sowing into your life? See, a lot of us, we sow mixed seed into our life. We'll read our Bible, but yet we'll still go watch those R-rated movies that sow that stuff in us. Or we'll listen to the type of music that makes us lust. Or we'll do these different things, and we sow this mixed seed in us. And we'll produce a little bit of God and a little bit of flesh, and nothing really ever changes. And so we've got to be careful that we don't get deceived in this and that we get comfortable with our sin, because when we get comfortable with our sin, we're out of the will of God, and that now we're ineffective for the gospel. And see, that's where the devil wants us to be. If he can't make you question God's Word, he can make you question His faithfulness to His Word. And he'll deceive you in that way. So I want to look at some scripture today in Mark chapter 4. And I love Mark chapter 4. There's such great teaching in here. And we're going off this idea of sowing seed. And, you know, he talks several places about the seed. And we're going to read the parable of the sower today and talk about that. But first, I want to look at the parable of the growing seed. And look at this concept behind this. This is in Mark chapter 4, verse 26. He also said that this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, and though he doesn't know how. All by itself, the soil produces the grain, first the stalk, and then the head, and then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. I want you to look at this concept of this seed time and harvest, is that the man sows the seed on the ground. It didn't specify what the seed was, but he sows the seed on the ground. He says, night and day, whether he's asleep or he's awake, or no matter what he's doing, the soil produces the sprout. So no matter what he does, the seed is out there, and the soil takes over at that point. Now, I don't have a green thumb. I can't grow stuff. I mean, like someone bought me a tree one time, and I'm like, really? You just want me to kill this tree? I mean, I don't understand what you're doing here. But but I can't grow stuff, and so I think I'm just buying the wrong soil, or I don't know. I've really tried to grow some avocado trees because I love avocados and make guacamole and all that stuff, but it's the wrong climate, and so that's my problem on that one. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So day and night he sleeps or gets up, and the seed sprouts and grows, though he doesn't know how. See, it doesn't matter what you do. When you sow that seed, it's going to sprout. Okay? And this is God being faithful to His Word. When you sow seed into your life, it's going to produce something. Okay? Whether that seed is good or it's bad. But the thing is, it doesn't sprout immediately, does it? You put it in the ground, and it says He goes day and night doing whatever He's going to do, and said, then all by itself, the soil is going to produce the grain. See, I wish I could go and plant an avocado seed in the ground, and tomorrow I'll wake up and there's an avocado tree. That would be awesome, you know? But that's not the way it happens. You put the seed in the ground and you go out there tomorrow and nothing's happened. It still looks the same. You go out the next day, the same thing, day after day, day after. Eventually, there's a little sprout that comes up out of the ground. And it took time for that to happen. See, when we sow seed into our lives, it doesn't spring up immediately, but it takes some time to produce, okay? And so one of the deceptions of sin is that you do something wrong, and you're like, oh, well, that wasn't so bad. Nothing bad happened to me. There was no negative consequence because I sinned last night. And so you do it again. Oh, there's still no consequences. Nothing bad's going on. I still have a relationship with Jesus. Everything's good. And so you do it again, and you do it again, and you keep sowing that seed. Then one day you wake up, and you're in a mess of trouble. And you're like, where did this come from? Well, you've been sowing seed for a month, and you're just now seeing the result of that. And so we've got to be careful not to be deceived in that just because you sin and don't see bad things happen doesn't mean that it's not going to grow in our life. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that if you go out and you sin today, then, you know, a month down the road, something horrible is going to happen. That's not what I'm saying. Because you can ask for forgiveness, but if you continually sow that same seed over and over and over and over again, it's going to bring destruction in your life. Okay? So just because you mess up once doesn't mean the world's over. It's just saying, hey, let's start sowing some other stuff around this and so that we can produce good in our life. And so we see this concept of seed, time, then harvest. It's not an immediate harvest. It's the same thing on the other side. Is that there's lots of times that we read God's Word and, you know, we have this thing that we're praying about. Maybe a pressing need. Maybe, you know, you're praying for your marriage or you're praying for a child that has walked away from God, and you begin to pray for them and you begin to speak Scripture over them and you begin to sow to the Spirit and you're sowing that seed into it and you're not seeing anything happen. Let me tell you something. Don't give up on that. It takes time. It takes time for that to produce. The more you sow, the more harvest is coming your way. So don't give up on the promises of God because it doesn't happen immediately. Continue to sow. Continue to do the right thing. And allow those seeds to get into the ground. Allow the ground to do its work. And then it's going to start sprouting and it's going to start growing. And you're going to see that marriage change. You're going to see those children come back to Jesus. You're going to see that job situation change. You're going to see change in your life because you're putting God's Word first. It's good whether you believe it or not, right? All right. So let's walk away from the sin part of it. Let's talk about the positive aspect of sowing and reaping. Because, man, this is such a powerful parable. It's such a powerful truth that if we get a hold of this, we can control our future. We can affect change in our future if we get a hold of this concept and really understand it. And so I'm going to go read the parable of the sower to you today. And what I love about Jesus, he talked in parables, you know, to the crowds a lot of times. And he would speak these things and he would just kind of walk off. And everybody's just like, okay, that was a cool story, but, you know, what does that mean? You know, and so the disciples would always come and ask him, Jesus, what did you mean by that? I mean, what? And so Jesus would always explain it. So let me read this to you in Mark chapter 4, verse 3. It says, listen, a farmer went out to sow seed, and as he scattered seed, some fell among the path, and the birds came and they ate it. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they did not have root. Other seeds fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not produce grain. Still other seed fell in the good soil, and it came up, and it grew, and it produced a crop, multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." All right, and so that's what he spoke to the crowd, and then later, you know, the disciples were like, "Jesus, what were you talking about?" And so verse 14, the farmer sows the word. So in every situation that he was talking about here, it was the same seed that was sown. All right? It was the word of God was sown in each and every one of them. But notice, not all of the different soils produced the same thing, did it? Some of them didn't produce at all. But it was the same word. And so God's word's the same as it's sown into the heart. But it's the condition of the heart that determines what kind of harvest that we get. And so as we look at these soils, we're going to compare these to conditions of our heart that we have. So the farmer sows the word. Some people are like the seed along the path, where the word is sown, and as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes it away, takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like the seed sown on the rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, it only lasts for a short time. And when trouble and persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like the seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like the seed on the good soil, they hear the word, they accept it, and it produces a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Man, I want to be that good soil. I want to, when I hear God's word, for it to produce something in my life. I want it to be a change maker in my life. But the thing is, I have been every single one of these. And I think we've all been there. We've all had these different things. And so let's look at these. So the seed is God's word. It's the same seed sown in every heart. But the first one he talked about was the path. The path. And so let's say I go out and I have some seed, and I go and I throw it out on the parking lot. What do you think is going to happen? Nothing's going to happen. The birds are going to come and they're going to eat it. The rain's going to come and wash it away, and it's not going to produce anything. See, the path represents the hard heart. The hard heart. And we can compare this to the non-Christian who's offended by God. Maybe they're offended by the church, or they've just hardened their hearts to God. And so there's times that we sow seed into people that have hard hearts and we're not seeing any change. And it's because they're blocking that in their life. And lots of times Satan will come immediately and take that word off of them. Let me tell you something. Don't give up on those people. Keep sowing. Keep sowing. Keep praying that God will soften that heart. But you know, there's times that we as Christians, we harden our hearts too. You know, I know this doesn't happen to anybody else, but you know, there's times that, you know, me and the family are driving to church, and it's like, seems like that's the biggest fight that you've had all week, is when you're in the car going to church. I mean, and you're just mad, you're screaming, and you're just like, y'all just be quiet back there, I'm sick of it. You're all grounded for the rest of your life, and then you come in, God bless you, it's good to see you today. Yes, it's a wonderful day. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord today. Let us worship Him. You know, but sometimes we come in with hard hearts. And then God has a word for us, and we're sitting there, we're still fuming, man. We are angry. It's like, when I get home, I'm going to, And the seed is sown, and it never penetrates your heart. See, we got to be careful when we come to church, when we come, you know, when you sit down to read your Bible, say, God, soften my heart to your word today. God, allow it to penetrate my heart today. Lord, forgive me. You know, if I've done anything wrong, God, I want to be receptive to you today. When we come to church, it's always one of my prayers that we have open and receptive hearts to God's word. Because God's word is what changes us. It's what produces the good harvest in us. And so always, God, make me open and receptive to your word. You know, sometimes that's a word of encouragement. Man, there's times that you're down and you just need that word of encouragement that God loves you, God. That God is on your side, that he is for you and not against you. That you're more than a conqueror and you're going to make it through this day. And you're going to make it in this situation. And things are going to turn around. And sometimes that's the word you need to hear. There's other times there's a word of correction that you need to hear. Those are the ones I harden my heart to the most, right? You know, when there's that word that, like, you know, that kind of pricks your heart. And you're like, ooh, I don't want to deal with that right now. You know, but we need to allow God's word in no matter what it is and have that soft heart towards him. So don't be like the path and have the hard, unreceptive heart to God. Then he goes on to the next one. He said, others are like the seed sown in the rocky places. They hear the word and they receive it with joy. Man, has that ever happened to you? Man, you heard a word in church, man, and you're like, oh, that's so good. Oh, that's good. And then you go out of here, and then something happens, and all of a sudden that word's gone. Does that ever happen to anybody else? Listen to this. It says, you receive it with joy, but since they have no root, they only last for a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word. That's a huge addition to that sentence. Because let me tell you something. When you receive God's word and you receive it with joy, the devil doesn't like that. And he wants to do something to get that out of you. And so he's going to bring trouble and persecution because of that word in you. Have you ever heard a sermon and you're like, man, that's so good. I'm going to do something about this. You've made a decision. I'm going to change this in my life. And that very week, you're attacked in that area. And you give up. God, forget this. I've done it 100 times. You know, and so we got to be careful that we don't have that shallow heart to where, yeah, the word's good. It's wonderful. It's encouraging. But when trouble comes our way, we just abandon it. Or we allow it to be stolen out of our hearts. And so, you know, let's grow deep roots with the word of God. Don't let that be stolen from your heart. Verse 18, still others, the seed is sown among the thorns. They hear the word. Notice in all of these, they hear the word. You know, the word's being sown and they hear it. And it's their response to the word and the condition of the heart that determines what it produces. So still others like the seed that's sown among the thorns. They hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires of other things come in and choke the word out, making it unfruitful. This is the fleshy heart. This is the heart that we read about. It's the in you reap what you sow. It's the nature of man without the Holy Spirit. It's the decision-making according to self apart from your faith. See, I believe in all the decisions that we make in life, we need to include the Holy Spirit in that. Right? Now, not so much, you know, what am I going to eat for lunch? You know, he can guide you in that because someone might give you poisoning out there somewhere. It's like, don't go to, I'm not going to name a restaurant because I don't want to be sued for anything. But, you know, don't go here. But, you know, we need to include the Holy Spirit in our decisions. And, you know, there's lots of times that we make decisions based on fleshly things and we exclude God in those things. And that's sowing to the flesh. You know, there's lots of times the worries of life cause us to make decisions. Well, you know, because we all got to pay our bills, right? We all want to eat. We all need a place to stay. You know, and so, you know, those things are the essentials of life. But are we worried about those things and we make decisions based on the worry and the concern of those things? Listen to Matthew chapter 6. This is Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is going. I've always wondered how long this sermon was because it goes for like 3 chapters. You know, it's just like, man, Jesus, you were talking a long time, you know. I've kind of wondered sometimes, like, if our sermons were put into Scripture, you know, how many chapters would they be? Like, how long would these things go? We might change how much we talk, right? Nah, no, we wouldn't. Anyway, Matthew chapter 6, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, 31. He says, so don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? You know, those are all things, those are the basics of life, right? These are all the things that we need in life. And so it's easy to be concerned or worried about these things. Verse 32 says, "For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, then all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own." See, here's the thing, guys. Those things are important, but they're not more important than seeking God. See, a lot of times we make decisions based on worry or what might happen, and we make fleshly decisions outside of our faith, and it gets us in trouble. And so how are we making our decisions? What's influencing our decisions? See, we need to be making decisions based on God's Word, based on His promises in our life. And so, you know, if you think that, and you know, I'm not dogging anybody here, but, you know, if you're working 60, 70 hours a week and you're skipping church because you want to make some money to pay for some stuff, we might need to re-examine. Because are you putting God first or are you putting money first? And I understand we need to work. And there's certain jobs that require a lot of hours. I understand that. But is it affecting your relationship with God? Is it affecting your ability to put Him first in your life? And so we've got to be careful that we're not running after, or we're allowing, like it said, the thorny ground, that the cares of this world are choking out God's Word in our life. Are the cares of the world, or the deceitfulness of riches, or the desires for other things come in and choke God's Word for our life? See, if we're seeking God first, He's going to take care of stuff. Okay? If you're seeking God first, He's going to take care of those things. All right? And so we don't have to worry about those things. Now, when I say worry, it's like, well, I don't have to go to work now. I don't have to worry about it. Jesus is going to take care of it. He's going to pay the tax. No, He's not. If you don't work, you don't eat, the Bible says. You still got to work, all right? Don't get me wrong here. But it's the worry of those things. Are you allowing the cares of riches and those things to choke out God's Word in your life? See, they heard the Word. It's producing, but those other things are growing with it, and the Word of God dies in there. So don't be the fleshy heart. And the last one, the good ground. This is where we're all striving to be. It says, "The others are like the seed sown in good soil. They hear the word. They accept it, and it produces a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what is sown." Let me tell you something. I want to be a 100%er out there. Don't you? I would love for God's Word to 100% produce in my life all the time. But you know what? Even once we get to the good soil, we still got to be careful. Because you might be the 30%er. And you're looking at some that 100%er over there. It's like, why is God blessing them more than He's blessing me? Why is God's Word producing more in him than it is me? And we can get offended. Have you ever been offended at God? Ever got mad at God before? I've done it. I've got mad at God because of stuff before. But listen, we got to be careful that we don't get offended because someone's being blessed more than us. You don't know what they're sowing. You don't know what's going on in their life. They might be in a place where they need that 100 times, that 100-fold return in their life. You just keep doing what you know is right. You keep sowing. You keep sowing to the Spirit. You keep sowing the Word. You keep speaking God's Word over your life. You keep praying for that loved one. Let me tell you something. God is faithful to His Word. He will produce a harvest in your life. The Word of God works. Now, the Word of God is not a get-rich-quick scheme, all right? There's some people that preach that. If you give $1,000 in the offering today, ha! God will bless you. He will give you that new car. Nah, that's not the gospel. That's not what the Bible says. But He said, if you sow, you will reap. And see, we got to believe that as we're sowing, that we're going to reap if we don't give up. And that's why giving is such a big thing. Because that's that part of our heart that deals with money. And money is tough. I mean, the love of money is the root of all evil. This world runs on money. And so money is a big thing in our life, but in the kingdom of God, it's not that big a deal. But see, he uses money in our life to see if we're going to be generous with us, if we've given that part of our life to him. And as we give and as we're faithful in our tithes and our offering and we're giving to the poor and we're giving alms and we're giving of ourselves and stuff, that we're sowing seed and it's going to produce eternal life. It's going to produce something in our lives. And so I believe that God is faithful to his word. And I love how he ended that. He says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." See, as we're hearing God's word, do you have ears to hear? Are you open and receptive to what's being said? See, I might have said something today that offended you. But if it's God's word, you need to let that word in. Let me tell you something. God's words offend me sometimes. This Bible offends me sometimes because it doesn't line up with the way I'm living. And so I need to change the way I'm living to line up with God's word. Do you have ears to hear what God's saying to you today? Whether it's that word of encouragement to keep praying, to keep going, because the harvest is coming. Receive that word today. Maybe you've got the hard heart today, and that word kind of hurt a little bit. Receive that word today. Allow God to begin to change that heart, soften that heart to it, because as you let God's word in, it will produce something. It will produce eternal life in you. It will produce good in you. So don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. You will reap what you sow. Let's sow the right stuff today. Let's sow to the Spirit. Let's do things that's going to make us stronger as Christians. See, we need to quit mixing the seed. We need to be careful what we're mixing in. We need to be careful what we're watching, what we're listening to, what we're allowing in, that negative talk at work. See, there's some people out there that are so negative about everything. There's nothing I don't like any worse. There's nothing I hate worse than a negative Christian. Because the gospel is anything but negative. The gospel means good news, all right? So let's live as if it's good news in our life. But if you're all the time negative, everything's bad, everything's, that person is this. Man, what are you sowing? Quit sowing that negativity in your life. Allow the positive in. I'm glad God doesn't treat me like I deserve. Because it would be very negative. But that he looks at me with eyes of grace and with eyes of love, and he treats me better than I deserve. And so let's extend that to other people and sow some peace today. Let's sow some positivity in your workplace. Let's sow some love in there. You might have a strained relationship with a parent today. Sow love. Sow peace. Sow those seeds in there. And they might reject it at first, but let me tell you something. The more you sow, the more you reap. The harvest is coming. The harvest is coming. Let's be faithful. Let's be diligent. Quit talking negative about those people and start speaking life all over them. Start speaking God's word over them. You'll be amazed at what God will do because he is faithful to his word. Father, thank you today, God, that you are faithful. God, that whatever we reap, whatever we sow, that's what we're going to reap in life. God, let us have ears to hear what you're saying today, God. Help us to sow to the Spirit. Help us to sow God's word into our life. Sow those seeds of love and grace. In peace, in joy. Father, I just pray for those with hard hearts today. God, that you're beginning to soften that heart. God, begin to till that ground so they can allow your word in. God, help us to weed out the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this life. God, help us to be kingdom-minded today so that as we're pursuing you, God, that we can produce life, so that we can produce something that people can taste and see that you are good from our life. Father, we thank you for all that you do. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we all stand and worship today? Today as we worship, I want you to reflect. I want you to ask God this question. God, show me my heart. God, show me what kind of soil I am. God, show me how to fix it today. And I believe as you do that, God will answer that prayer and that He will do a work in your life. Prayer team, come forward. If you need prayer today, if you need to make Jesus Lord, come forward today. Let's worship.